That's cool. Moms, you are amazing. I don't know how you do it. That's funny. So typically what we do is on Mother's Day, right, we'll come in and we'll say Happy Mother's Day. We'll have you stand, we'll clap, and then we'll enjoy the rest of the service, say a couple of cool things and buy you lunch. And tomorrow you're back to your normal job, right? And so I don't want to let that be the thing this morning. I wanted to kind of start a new tradition if you guys wouldn't mind. So we are going to have you stand. You are moms, and so we want to honor you this morning. So if you're a mom, please stand up. But I want to call it Hug a Mom Mother's Day. So here's the deal. You guys have the hardest job on the planet. Second place isn't even close. And we want to honor you for that. So if you see somebody standing up next to you, go give them a hug and tell them thanks for being a good mom. I'm going to do that myself. Thanks, I love you. Being a good mom. All right. We could probably do this all day, I know, because you guys are a loving bunch, but I think this is a good new tradition, right? Hug a mom Mother's Day. We can make that be a thing. What mom doesn't want hugs, right? Really, you guys have the toughest job on the planet. It's an honor to be around some great moms, and we've passed through some, there's been a lot of great moms that I've had the opportunity to look at and learn from and call mom myself. So I know some of you guys are in this room that I've actually called mom. So anyway, fun day, Mother's Day. And, you know, I want to think about some notable moms throughout history, if you don't mind, just for a second. So when you think of great moms, what comes to your mind? What's some of the names that pop in your head? And so outside of this room, I'll give you, for instance, we celebrated last Saturday the graduation of Jean Maple. And she was a great mom. She had lots of kids, a busload of grandkids, and like a billion great-grandkids. I don't know how many, but they all looked up to her with respect. And she was well-known, and her character was that of good value. And so when you run across people like that, it's good to commend them. And so we just celebrate her graduation, but think about some other moms throughout history. So like maybe some famous ones that you've known about. I'll give you another one, somebody who just graduated not long ago, Barbara Bush. You guys remember her? And she was the wife of the 41st president of the United States and mother of the 43rd president of the United States. And so no matter what your political leanings are, which way you vote, she was known as a person of respect, right? She spoke her mind, but most people generally have a good view of Barbara Bush. She was noted to be a good woman. She was the second woman to pull that feat. Abigail Adams was the wife of our second president and the mother of our fourth, and also one of those women, whatever way you vote, she was definitely looked at as a woman of respect. So a little more recently, you guys ever heard of the name Harriet Tubman? Harriet Tubman was a mom. She led over 70 people out of slavery using the Underground Railroad. But you know she was a mom, and she was a mom first, just like Barbara Bush and Abigail Adams. Marie Curie, you ever heard of that name? She's the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, but she was a mom first. Margaret Thatcher, at the time she served, she was the longest tenured British prime minister. But she was a mom first. In fact, she had twins, and they were said that she put off much of her political career because she wanted to be a mom first. There's been some great moms we know throughout history. Princess Diana, remember her? She's long passed, but her sons are currently in the news like everywhere you look. And I don't fully get the whole British royalty thing, but that's okay. But their sons are like they're having kids, and they're getting married and all this stuff. And so they're noted. They're popular. And so she was noted to be a good mom. And so when I say moms, you guys probably have a ton more examples, and there's a lot of people that, you know, we could talk about all day, but I want to go to Scripture for a minute. So in God's Word, what are some notable moms that first come to mind, right? So probably Eve, right, the very first mom. Obviously, Mary comes to mind. She was Jesus' mom. We talked about Sarah a couple weeks back with Abraham, and we talked about Rebecca and Rachel. And there's a lot of good moms throughout Scripture, right? I mean, every notable character in the Bible had a mom. So I'm going to say one today, when I say this name, it's probably not going to be the first one you thought of. But we're going to study her today, and her name's Rahab. So you ever thought about Rahab being a mom? I mean, she was, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And so Rahab is probably more known, if you will, for her profession. But we are going to talk about her today because she is the last name on the last jersey hanging from the rafters, or ceiling or whatever. I guess Joe didn't know how to describe it either, but hanging up in the air. And so it's funny that she's the only name that's a woman in our lineup of characters. And so I find it not ironic that we are on Mother's Day talking about the only woman's name. And she was a mom. But when they say Rahab, most of you probably know her more for her profession. So I want to get the elephant out of the room quickly. Rahab was a prostitute. And so I don't know how I get this, keep getting these short straws of talking about these difficult ones. But we got to get that out of the room. And I don't want to make light of the fact that she was one, because human trafficking still goes on today, and it's a terrible thing, and I don't want to joke about that. But it was a fact, and probably what happens is like what happens most of the time today. Nobody picks that profession, right? I mean, if you're in here today and you're currently doing for a profession what you always wanted to do as a kid, raise your hand. Is anybody here doing exactly what I run around and say I want to be? Like, okay, couple, and that, but it's so super rare, right? I mean, I remember it's funny, when I used to run around this this property up on building D and C, which is super weird, they're called D and C, and this is a newer building, but whatever. I remember, like, adults would ask me, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I used to say, I want to be a preacher. And so we're not going to confuse me for being a preacher anytime just yet, but I will say that later on in life, I wanted to be a park ranger. And I don't know why. Park rangers, you know, I thought it'd be cool to hang out in the woods and drive ATVs and go up on the super tall towers and look for fires and whatever it looks like. But then I decided I like people too much, so I didn't want to do that. But nobody typically ends up doing what they wanted to do when they were kids. I mean, we talked about Joseph a couple weeks ago. And remember, something happened to him that changed his entire being, right? He had to go to a different country. And many times that's what happens to you guys, right? Life gets in the way. Maybe you make some poor choices, whatever it looks like. Life changes and you don't end up doing what you wanted to do. Now, in this country, women have a lot of options that they didn't used to have, right? It is Mom's Day, and ladies, you can do anything. They're serving in the police department. They're serving in the military. We've got astronauts. One almost was president. I mean, you really have options that most people didn't have years ago. Like in Rahab's day, in her time, typically what happened is if you didn't have a husband, you were in big trouble. If your husband died and there wasn't a younger brother to marry you and take care of you, you were in trouble. There wasn't options for them to go make money and have a profession, and so probably what happened is Rahab might have fallen into that. It doesn't really say how she gets this profession, but nonetheless, this is what she had to do to survive and support her family. So I want to kind of catch up on her story, but let's read the verse. I'm just going to read it to you quick. This Hebrews 11:31. It says that by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And so what does that mean? If you don't know the story or the history of Rahab, what does that mean that she welcomed spies? And so what I thought we'd do is we'd go through that story, and it's in the book of Joshua. And so if you guys want to turn there in your Bibles, this is the sixth book of the Bible. So you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. And we're going to be in chapter 2. And while you guys are turning there, I'm going to kind of catch you up on the story real quick. So Joe talked about Moses' faith last week and his parents' faith specifically, but great sermon on that. That was super awesome. Moses is getting old, right? We know about how Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, right? And God parts the waters for them, and they go through on dry land. And as the Egyptians are chasing them, he causes the waters to come down, destroying them all, right? So he's getting his people out of Egypt. And so Moses gets old and he passes on, and then Joshua takes the reins over. And they immediately defeat a couple of armies. We're going to read about them in a minute. They were supposed to be really tough armies to defeat, two kings. And we're going to get more into that story here in a second. But basically, God is setting the way for Joshua to come in and take over the city of Jericho and this land that he's promised to him. And so Jericho is the first city they're going to take over. But he says, I'm going to send a couple of spies in first and check this place out. And so that's where we're going to catch up today. So if you're in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went in and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now, why did they go to Rahab's house, the prostitute's house? I'm not sure. I know that if they're spies, they probably don't go into the center of a city and say, hey, we're the new guys, we're here. Just want to check out the surroundings, have a cup of coffee with you guys or whatever. So they probably went to a place that was known to have a lot of traffic in and out. Maybe a place they could be, you know, kind of hide under wraps or whatever. And so that doesn't really work. Verse 2 says, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out our whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came here, but I did not know where they came from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to her roof and hidden them under stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. So why does she choose to do this? What's the thinking she's got on this? Right? I mean, she's really putting herself in danger by lying to the king. And really, in her profession, doing what she did with her status in that city, she could probably just be killed at any given time if the king just wanted her to be. So let's read on and find out why. Verse 8, before the spies laid down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord has dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Verse 11, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth below. All right, so words got around, right? It doesn't travel as fast as now. I mean, they didn't take a picture and put it on Instagram, but obviously people are starting to tell what's happening, right? I mean, you don't just part a sea and a million people go through it or whatever and nobody knows. And then they take on these two kings and defeat their armies and completely destroy them. And so words got around and there's some fear in this city. So maybe she's driven by fear. Maybe she's got a, I don't want to be destroyed like all these guys, but maybe there's something else. Let's read on. Verse 12 says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown you kindness. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Okay, so she's got some family. And so maybe there's a little bit of a drive there to protect her family. And so here we're talking about Rahab on Mother's Day, but moms, what happens the first time they hand you a child? Your very first child they hand you on, what happens to your decision-making process? It's completely changed, right? Every decision you make from that day forward is now for somebody else. And so I love that way that I get to see moms just change the way they, you know, used to be kind of self-centered, not in a bad way, but your decisions only had to include you and maybe a husband. And now everything is completely changed because they're so dependent on us. And so I think they have that natural instinct to do that. And so I think she's has this instinct that I want to protect my family. So let's pick up a little bit here in verse 14. It says, our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them out by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Remember that for a second. She lives in the city wall. So Jericho, just so you know, there's been different studies, and there's been different archaeologists that have gone and looked at what this city was made of and the thickness of the wall. But so basically you have this big city, and it was known to be impenetrable, right? Nobody could, they were even arrogant about it, that nobody could, you know, capture our city. And so the wall was basically built with two separate walls, and they were parallel, and they ran around the city. And so the inner wall was, depending on who you study, was somewhere between 12 and 14 feet thick. And then you had an outer wall that was between 6 and 8 feet thick. And so inside there was people that lived, and there were businesses, and it was part of the city, basically. So we're gonna find out what happens here a little bit when God delivers this city. But think about this. You live inside of a wall in a city. And I'm not sure if maybe the poor, you know, the lesser known people or the people that were looked down upon had to do that or why that was put there. But it's become a beautiful story here in a second. And their only instructions to Rahab was, okay, let this cord of scarlet hang out the window, and then when we come back, you'll be fine. But everybody's got to be in your house. Don't let anybody be in the city. And so the story picks up in chapter 6, and we're going to go there, but I want to catch us up again. So God now delivers the Israelites on their second, through their second body of water. So they cross the Jordan River once again on dry land. And so Joshua gets ready to go up to the city, and God says, march around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. When you get back, blow your trumpets and shout, and I'll deliver. And so he doesn't say what he's going to do, but Joshua has faith, and so they go and they do this, right? So let's go to chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 22, just a couple pages over. And so they do what God says, and then the walls are blown in, and the Israelites go and take over the whole city of Jericho. Now, the interesting part is, if we know that Rahab lived in a part of the wall, I don't know exactly how much of the wall God destroyed, but we know he saved a certain part of it, right? The part that Rahab lived in. I don't find that ironic at all. So verse 22, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out, all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belonged to her. They brought her entire family out and put them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. So they spared her life. And we all know when they go into Jericho, they destroy everything. They kill everything. They burned everything and they took whatever was of value and stored it. But Rahab and her family. So let's finish this up. Verse 24. It says, they burned the whole city and everything in it. They put the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies into Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. So, one act of faith saves Rahab's life, right? And just so you know, by the way, Rahab does have a child, and that's why I mentioned her on Mother's Day. She has a son named Boaz. You guys ever heard of him? He is the great-grandfather of a young man named David, as in King David, as in 28 generations later, we celebrate Jesus. So if you don't think for a second that God can't be and paint a beautiful picture out of yesterday's mess, that's what he's in the business of, and you're listening to the wrong voice. Because God can take wherever you're at and paint a beautiful story out of it. And he's done it over and over, and this is one more story we read today. It doesn't matter where you've been. One act of faith changes everything. One act of faith. So maybe you're sitting here today and your one act of faith is, you know, I'm a little scared. I want to start a small group, and I'm a little fearful. I've never done that before. Don't think that God will not reward you for that. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the second part of that says that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Maybe you got that person at work that's asking some tough questions and you're just not sure how to answer them or what that looks like. Put your faith in God and he will reward you. Maybe you're thinking of having a small group or a study or a discipleship relationship, but you're just too fearful of it. Maybe you've not ever made that first faith step. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and know there's a better way and have a repentant lifestyle that says, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to surrender to Jesus. And maybe you've never surrendered in baptism to Jesus Christ before. That first faith step can save your life. Just like Rahab's one act of faith saved her life and her family's, think about your first step and what that could possibly do to the ripple effect in your family. And if you've not done that today, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that after church. Because God is in the business of making beautiful out of ugly if you just surrender to him. And if you've been in a bad spot, maybe you're in that spot now and you're in a mess and you're not sure where to go with that. I'm telling you, if you listen to the voice of Jesus, it can be beautiful. And God has proven it over and over. If he can take the faith of a prostitute and use that lineage to have his son come into this world, what can he do in your world? What can he do in your life? Faith. It's all about faith. And it's been a bittersweet ending to this. I'm kind of sad to see this series go. This was Dave's series. He proposed this to us, and we kind of ran with it. But a little sad to see it end. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't really matter where you've been. In fact, verse 1 of this very chapter said that faith is the assurance of what you don't see and confidence, I wrote that down wrong. It's confidence in what you hope for and assurance in what you don't see. But I'm here to tell you, do you really not see God? Is he really saying, just believe in me and with no proof? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but everywhere I look, there's God. I mean, when I'm driving down the road and I'm having one of them rough days and at just the right time a rainbow appears in the sun and off in the distance, that's not a coincidence, that's from God. Or when I'm going to bed and that sun sets unlike anyone I've ever seen before and the colors are more perfect than they've ever been. It's not a coincidence, it's God screaming out to me to get my attention. And, you know, maybe you're into work, you're heading into work that day, and you just don't feel like being there, and it's a rough place to go, and you're walking through the parking lot, and a chorus of birds starts singing at just the right time. You ever had that happen? That's not a coincidence. That's our God trying to get your attention. Better yet, God has written a 66-book love letter just to you, just to me. He's trying to get your attention. He's not a mystery. I mean, there are some things we don't know about God. I've never seen God in person, but I can see him everywhere I look. And he's written a letter to me that he wants me to read so I can know who he is. So God's not asking to blindly have faith in something we know nothing about. He's given us lots of proof. In fact, there may be more proof of God than any other thing we know. So I want to end with this. We're going to close in a song, because I like to close in songs. But think about where you're at currently right now in life. Is it a mess? And if it is, is it good enough to put your faith in something different than you have already? Because apparently the things we've been putting faith in right now are not working, right? But faith in God can be so beautiful tomorrow. Tomorrow's picture has already been painted if you're willing to let God do it. And it's going to be awesome. So happy Mother's Day. You guys have the greatest job, the toughest job on the planet. I'm in awe of you guys. I get to hang out with some cool moms. I can't wait to go call mom when I get home. She lives in Kansas, and just tell her thanks. She didn't always make the best decisions. She didn't always make the right ones, but she did every one on my behalf, and I know that now as I'm getting older. So if you're leaving here today and your moms are a phone call away, call her and tell her thanks. Tell her thanks. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. God, thank you for being awesome. Thank you for cleaning up my mess. Man, I've just done some doozies, and you just have constantly been there for me, and you've waited me out, and you're patient with me when I didn't deserve patience. Thank you that I get to hang around some awesome moms. Thank you for Jesus Christ, and I appreciate Johnny's message of being thankful. You tell us often in prayer to be thankful before we even come about anything else, so we remember where all good things come from. If there's anybody sitting here, God, that doesn't know you, man, would they start asking some questions today? Will you prompt their spirit with yours? If there's anybody that doesn't know how to just do that first step of faith, it's so beautiful because you promised us that you will reward us when we faithfully seek you out. It's been a fun study. I hate to see it come to an end, God, but there's another one waiting, and you're going to teach us through that one too. Thank you for your words today and your spirit being present. I love you, God. I'm in awe of you. I thank you so much. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.